an encouragement is to see active participation in church. Amen. And it's an encouragement to your pastor. Let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 2 for the reading of God's word today. James chapter 2. Right after the book of Hebrews, not too far away from Revelation, go back a little step there, you'll find the little book of James. James chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 26 this morning. The verses are on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible or see better there. James chapter 2, beginning of verse number 14, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask him for his help today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance that we have to be here. Now, Lord, I pray as we open your word and as I preach, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray. Control my thoughts, control my words. But more importantly than what I say, Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart here. And help them to hear what you want them to hear. Help them to hear from you. And I pray that you would speak to us and guide us and help it to change us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We've been preaching through this series. I've entitled Back in My Day, looking back at sayings that we've heard our elders say. Many of these sayings are based on biblical principles. And I wanted to take a closer look at those principles to see how we can live our lives more pleasing to God. And today we're looking at the saying, actions speak louder than words. Back in my day, people didn't say as much because they knew if you said it, you'd better back it up. It better mean something. And if you promised to help someone move, you showed up. Amen? If you said you'd fix something, you got your toolbox and fixed it. And today, people say a lot of things on social media, in text, even in person, that never end up turning into action. You ever notice how easy it is to say, I'll pray for you, and then never actually pray? You know, one of the greatest things that you can do, and I'm still trying to get into the habit of it, is whenever you say, I'll pray for you, just stop whatever you're doing right there, wherever you are, and pray with them. Amen? First of all, it means a tremendous amount to them. When that's been done to me, it means a lot because I know they're actually doing it. I know that most people, when they say, I'll pray for you, never think about it again. They have great intentions. It's not that they're trying to lie. It's just that they forget so often. They get inundated by their own life. But words are cheap. Actions cost something. And that's why the old saying is true, actions speak louder than words. And it's not just a catchy phrase, it's biblical. And James tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, your words may say one thing, but your actions will always reveal what's really true. And John put it in this way, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't just say that you love someone in your words or with your tongues, but do something about it, and in truth. And of course, the greatest example is Jesus himself, who had said of who said himself in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And he backed that up with action. Amen? He didn't just talk about love. He demonstrated it on the cross. So today, we're going to see that real faith isn't just spoken, it's shown. Real Christianity isn't just about what you say on Sunday. It's about how you live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and all the days. Amen? Because actions really do speak louder than words. And so really, to really understand the importance of this, let's look at, first of all, number one, in your notes, if you got a bulletin, you have some notes in there. Number one, the insufficiency of empty words. The insufficiency of empty words. Verse 14, again, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" He says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." If actions speak louder than words, then James starts by showing how empty words without actions accomplishes nothing. You can say you have faith all day long, but if there's no evidence in your life, those words are just hollow. So we see, first of all, letter A under this main point here. Words without works are powerless. Words without works are powerless. James asked that question, "What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him?" And notice the key word there. Say. It's not about what you say, it's about what you show. And faith that is only spoken is powerless. It's easy to talk like a Christian, to sing the hymns, to carry a Bible. But if those words aren't backed up by obedience, those words are powerless to change anything. It's like someone claiming they're a mechanic because they can name car parts. But if they've never fixed a single engine or put those parts together, they're really not a mechanic. The knowledge without the action doesn't make you a mechanic. There's a lot of things out there that you can go to online schools for. Amen? And that's awesome. But there are certain things that I don't want them to go to online school for. Amen? One of them is my doctor. Amen? I want him working with cadavers and actual people. Amen? I want him to know where those things are by touch, not just by sight, you know, not by reading. Amen? And, you know, mechanic is the same type of thing. You can learn a lot from a book or reading or even videos, but you learn a whole lot more by doing. And just like that in life, you can say a lot of things, but it's powerless without action. The words without works don't make you a Christian. And James takes it even further. He says words without action are not just powerless, they're pointless when it comes to real needs. So we see letter B, pity without action is pointless. Pity without action is pointless. He says in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And James gives an amazing picture here. He cuts right to the quick. A brother or sister is without the needful clothing that they need, or they're hungry. And someone says, hey, have a great day. I hope that you're warm and full. But doesn't give them anything to warm them or fill their bellies. What good does it do? That's pity without action. And good intentions without follow-through doesn't help anyone. How often do we say, I'll pray for you, but never stop to actually pray? Or say, let me know if you need anything, but you never actually show up to help. Christian love is not measured by sympathy, but by service. Imagine a firefighter standing in front of a burning house and telling the family inside, "I feel so bad for you," but never touching a hose. It's pointless pity, isn't it? Good intentions without follow-through doesn't help anyone. We need to make sure that we follow through. Sadly, many Christians treat spiritual needs that same way, though. Words without works are powerless. Pity without action is pointless. James sums it all up with a hard truth now. In letter C, faith without works is profitless. Faith without works is profitless. Verse 17, he tells us, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." James doesn't say it weakens faith. It says it's dead faith. Words alone do not save. Works do not earn salvation, but they do prove your salvation. Real saving faith will always produce action. It'll be visible in your love, in your obedience, in your generosity, in your service. If your faith never shows up in your life, James said that faith is dead. So James makes it clear, empty words are not enough. Faith that talks but doesn't walk is dead. But thankfully, he doesn't leave us there, amen? Next, he gives us an illustration of what living active faith looks like. So we see number two, the illustration of living faith. The illustration of living faith. Verse 18, he says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, then that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, mature, complete. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James has showed us that empty words are insufficient. Now he shifts gears and says, let me give you some examples of what real faith looks like when it's lived out. Because if actions speak louder than words, then true faith is always proven by what it does. So we see letter A, faith is proven by what we do. Faith is proven by what we do. James imagines someone saying, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And faith cannot be seen unless it's expressed in action. Faith is not something visible. It's not something you can see. You can tell me you have faith, but I can't tell you have faith unless there are works backing that up. It's not that works replace faith, and that's where a lot of people go astray in the gospel. Works does not replace or add to faith. It is the outpouring of faith. It is the result of faith. No one can look inside your heart to see your faith, but they can look at your life. How you live is a megaphone that tells the world what you believe. As Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." What grows out of your life is what's going to show this world who you are and what you believe. Imagine two people both claiming that they're generous people. One talks about it, but the other one actually gives to help someone in need. Which one proved it? Which one do you really believe is generous? How many has ever known somebody that's all talk? Amen? I don't see too many hands. How many of you know somebody that's all talk? Okay, yeah. I had a feeling I wasn't the only one. You know, and we don't respect people who are all talk, do we? We respect those who back it up by their actions. The one who acted is the one who proves that they're generous. And actions may speak louder, always speak louder than words. James says in verse 19, he says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You say you're a Christian and believe, but guess what? The devils believe and are terrified of God. But faith without works is dead. And James gives us an example of a powerful biblical example. Abraham, not a perfect man, but a man whose faith was validated by obedience. Let's look at his example here in James and see how, letter B, Abraham's faith was validated by obedience. It was validated by obedience. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. When Abraham was called to offer Isaac, his actions demonstrated his trust in God. What he did backed up what he said he believed. Verse 22 says, seest thou how faith wrought by his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Abraham's willingness to act showed the reality of what was on the inside his faith. And faith that never costs you anything is honestly questionable faith. Real faith will sometimes require you to step out to trust God even when it's difficult. I've often used this example. I often say, I believe that this chair will hold me up if I stand on it. You know, I'm losing weight, but I'm still not light. Amen? But I believe that this chair is a sturdy chair. It looks sturdy. But I believe that this chair is going to hold me up. But unless I can't say that I have faith in this chair, though, unless I walk over here and stand on it. Once I stand on it, my actions show my faith. Okay? Your actions might be backed up by action. And every time you obey, your faith grows stronger. Now, I really believe that chair is going to hold me up. Amen? My faith is stronger because I've seen the proof of that by obedience. D.L. Moody once said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. In other words, the Word of God must be lived out in our daily life. Action. Putting the rubber to the road. Doing something. That's how faith is proven. But Abraham wasn't the only example. James also highlights someone very different. A Gentile woman named Rahab. And notice with me, number 3, letter C. Rahab's actions demonstrated her faith. Rahab's actions demonstrated her faith. Verse 25. Says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab's story is found in Joshua chapter 2. When Israel was preparing to enter the promised land, Joshua sent 2 spies into the city of Jericho. Rahab, who lived on the city wall, was known as a harlot, and took those spies into her home to give them safety. When the king of Jericho demanded that she turn them over, she hid them up on the rooftop and sent the soldiers a different way. They said they went that way. Why did she do that? The Bible says that she did that because she had heard of the God of Israel, how that he had delivered his people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea by dividing the waters and walking across on dry land, and then the waters crashing onto the armies of Egypt. And he had heard the mighty things that God had done for the Israelites. And she believed that he was the true God. Her words showed belief, but her actions proved it. She risked her own life to side with God's people. And the act of faith not only saved her and her family when Jericho fell, but later she was even grafted into Israel and even appears in the family line of Jesus Christ. What an amazing testimony, amen? Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that. Sometimes our faith is shown most clearly when we take risks to obey God. Like Rahab, we may not fully understand everything, but we act because we trust his word. And that action becomes the proof of real faith. Rahab reminds us that no matter your past, real faith shows up in what you do today. Amen? It doesn't matter what your past looks like. If you do right today and trust God today and obey God today, your future looks much different than your past. Amen? And she didn't just talk about believing in God, she acted on it. And that's why James points to her as an example. Actions speak louder than words. Her words would have meant nothing without the act of courage. And sometimes our faith is shown most clearly when we do those risks. James closes with a sobering reminder now. Without action, faith is dead. And that brings us to our final point, number three, the impact of authentic action. The impact of authentic action. Verse 25 says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And James has shown us that empty words are worthless. He's given us the illustrations in the life of Abraham and Rahab. Now he closes with a blunt statement. Faith without works is dead. In other words, if your actions don't back up your words, your faith has no impact. But when we act on our faith, it demonstrates and it gives the example to others around us that faith is real. So let's see, first of all, letter A, Rahab's actions demonstrated her faith. Rahab's actions demonstrated as her faith. I repeated that point. I don't know why I did that, but I read it again and said it again. But that's okay. You got it twice. It's important, okay? Let's see here. Verse 24. Let's see if I've said the same things over again. Okay, no, I did talk a little bit differently here. Okay, so let's see. We'll give you this too. All right. In verse 24, James makes, you know, that's why whenever you're studying for a sermon, it's not a good idea to walk away from the sermon and come back to it later. I know exactly when this happened. Amen. But anyways, in verse 24, James makes a strong statement. He says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. At first, it sounds like James is teaching salvation by works. And this is a verse, by the way, that is used often by those who believe that you have to earn your salvation or that faith alone cannot save. And at first, it sounds that way. But he's not contradicting Paul when he talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says salvation is by grace through faith and grace only. And the difference is this. Paul is talking about how we are justified before God. God sees the heart. He sees the root of our faith. James is talking about how we are justified before men. People can't see our heart. They only see the fruit of our faith, our actions. And so Paul and James are not opponents, they're teammates, showing two different views of the same coin. And Paul emphasizes faith as a foundation. James emphasizes works as evidence. And God sees the root, but people see the fruit. And that's why James brings up Rahab in verse 25. Rahab lived in Jericho and worked as a prostitute. And when the spies of Israel came, she risked her life to save them. Why? Because she believed in God. And her words said what she believed, but her actions proved it. That's that kind of faith that James is describing. And Rahab reminds us that no matter your past, God can change it. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. I did repeat some of that. Let's look at letter B. Faith without action is lifeless. We see this in verse 26. Faith without action is lifeless. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's a powerful image. A body without the spirit literally means the breath. The spirit, pneuma, the literal translation is breath. But throughout Scripture, it's talking about the spirit of man, the spirit that lives in us. Without the body, without that spirit inside it, it's a corpse. It may look like a person on the outside, but there's no life on the inside. I've often, when going to a funeral or such, and you go to walk up to, and I think of my own mother's funeral a couple of years ago, and we walked up to the casket. And we watched her take her last breath. We knew she was gone, but But whenever we walked up to the casket, and they did an incredible job on her, but she didn't look like Mom. There was something different. There was just as lifelike as they tried to make her, it just wasn't her. It was just the shell that had contained her. She was no longer there. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She was no longer there. And just as the spirit, the body without a spirit, it's a corpse, it's death. So faith without works is dead also. It may look like the person is there. It may look like the person is a Christian. But without the life inside, the works, the actions, it's the same way. You may look religious, but it has no power. A living faith will always breathe, move, and act. And if your faith never shows up in your obedience, your love, your service, all those things, James says it's not living faith at all. It's just an empty shell. You know, think about a flashlight. A flashlight looks like it could shine, you know, but without batteries, it's useless. I've gone to need a flashlight, and I see a flashlight going over there, and I go to reach for it, and it's light. I pick it up, and those D batteries are missing, and I think, well, that's useless, and I throw it back down. It does no good. And faith without works is like that, powerless, lifeless, dead. But when your faith is alive, your actions become light to the world. And that's where I want to go with the next as we wrap this up. See with me, letter C, our actions speak louder than our words. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People may not remember everything that you say, but they will remember how you lived your life. And this is why John, in his first epistle, says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, in action, and in truth. The loudest sermon you'll ever preach isn't from a pulpit. It's from the life that you live every day. Your children, your co-workers, your neighbors, they're all reading your actions louder than they're hearing your words. So James ends with a choice. Do you want a dead faith that talks but never walks? Or do you want a living faith that proves itself through action? Because your actions really do speak louder than words. James makes the point powerfully clear. Words alone are not enough. Faith that talks but never walks is dead. Pity without action doesn't help. Empty claims without obedience don't save. If actions speak louder than words, then the loudest thing about our faith should be how we live it. The world doesn't just need more Christians who can talk about faith. They need Christians who will live it. There are far too many people who have been hurt and damaged and turned off and pushed away by Christians who spoke one thing but didn't live it. People who caused harm rather than loving. And we need to change the tide of what Christians look like in this world, and especially in our community. And may it feed from here and go into our state and into our nation and into our world, because we as individuals chose to live out our faith the way that God wants us to. But listen, I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But it's a choice we have to make every single day, all day long. Are you going to live up to what your words speak? Are you going to live up to what the word Christian means? People around us need to see Christ in us. The way that we forgive, the way that we serve people, the way that we give, the way that we love. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Jesus gave us that great example. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He didn't just say, I love you. He showed it by dying on the cross. There's an old saying often quoted by Billy Sunday and others. He said, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Let me say it again. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. What you live out in your life speaks much louder. I heard someone once say, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. May that not be the truth for us, amen? The world may not remember everything that you say about your faith, but they will remember how you lived it out in front of them. A missionary once said that in his village, the people didn't have a Bible in their language. So the only Bible they could read was the lives of the Christians who lived among them. Whether we realize it or not, that's true for us as well. For many people around you, the only gospel they will ever read is the way that you live your life. So here's the question today. Does your walk match your talk? Do your actions back up your words, or do they contradict them? If someone only saw your deeds this last week, would they conclude that your faith is alive and real? Would they conclude that that's something that they want for their lives? The good news is this, because of Christ, your faith doesn't have to be empty. Amen? Because he took action on the cross, your life can be transformed. He laid down his life for you, now you can live for him. Now your dead words can become living faith. Not with shallow promises, but with sincere obedience. So as you leave today, let your life be live louder than your lips. Let your actions speak so clearly that people see Jesus in you. May the testimony of our church be that what we say on Sunday lives out every day of the week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and how convicting it is for each and every one of us, from the pastor down to a little child. I pray that you'd help us to live the way that you would have us to live. Speak to our hearts, convict us of where we go wrong, help us to ask forgiveness, and commit to you to repent and to live the way that you would have us to live. I pray that you guide and direct our time today. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Let's open our songbooks and let's all stand together. We're going to sing one verse of invitation.